This is their particular way, but they're masters of not only memorization in general, but specifically Quran and other sciences as well, and that they are one of the great means in all throughout the world, in the Muslim world, that you find this as well, means for the preservation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So it is a that recited Quran and it is a written Quran. And Allah ta'ala swearing by it is to emphasize إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that truly you are one of the messengers, O Muhammad. And that here, we actually know that our Prophet ﷺ is the greatest of the prophets and the messengers. But there are other messengers as well. And that our Prophet is a part of a long prophetic legacy in which he is the seal. He is the Khatam al-Anbiya wa Mursaleen. And if we really think about that, I've oftentimes reflected on the fact that before this idea of a globalized world, it was, if you rewind in history 1,000 years, inconceivable that people would have this feeling somehow, and now we know it's through modern applied technology, but you would be knowing what's happening on the other side of the earth instantaneously. People would have thought that that was virtually impossible, outwardly speaking, unless Allah Ta'ala intervenes. So the idea of a globalized world was that not something that human beings could even have imagined in the pre-modern world. And it just so happens that at the time we actually have what people are referring to as a globalized world, we have the universal prophet. So we know that our prophet is a universal prophet. He's different from all of the other prophets and messengers who came before him, who were specifically sent to their people. But our Prophet was sent to everyone, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's just amazing to think about that, that he has a universal deen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it just so corresponds to the time that as time went on, 1400 plus years later, that we moved into this idea that people are now talking about the global village, because that we are so aware of other people's experience throughout the world. And this is just something to think about. And the amazing thing is, and part of the reason there's so much tension between certain people in the modern world and the religion of Islam, is because is that we refuse as Muslims ultimately to only see our religion through the lens of the modern world. Is that no, we root ourselves in this religion and we understand that the modern world is just our context, and that Dr. Jackson mentioned on as a blurb for one of the recent publications of Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad, and that essentially Sheikh Abdul Hakim was commenting on his own contentions. I think it was the 11th contentions and included his commentary. And Dr. Jackson says on the back a very beautiful statement. He says that this can still be done. It can still be done, meaning that people that are connected to the tradition, living the meanings of that tradition and doing what the previous people did in our time. And this is what he said, the modern world is just our context. He said, we should never make it our excuse. The modern world is just our context. We shouldn't make it our excuse. In other words, the whole point of speaking about this idea of tradition is so that you can attach yourself to it and you can benefit from it and you can train yourself through it or become trained through it so that you can then do in your time, in our time, what those who came before us did in their time. It's not to speak of some static thing that's gone and in the past. Yes, that there are that certain people that you're never going to reach their ranks, but that doesn't mean that you still don't try to do what it is that they do, but it requires not only love and respect in attachment to that tradition, but a deep study and appreciation of it so that we can live it in our particular moment in which we live and do what it is that they did, or at least that approximate and at least die trying. And so that this is very important for us to really think about the implications of our Prophet being the final Prophet and Messenger. Is that Allah says, truly you are one of the messengers, and we know that he is the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. Now, moving on to verse number 4. Allah Ta'ala then says, ala siratin mustaqim, on a straight path. So by the wise Quran, truly you are one of the messengers, on a straight path. And some of the scholars say this is a khabar ba'da khabar. In other words, is that he is one of the messengers and he is on a straight path, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that others say that you would translate this is that indeed that you are from among the messengers whom are on a straight path. And this is where it gets very detailed when you start to look at the different grammatical possibilities, and it would change the way that you translate the verses and you translate the meaning of them. And this is why it's so important to really be a good translator, especially when it comes to the Quran. You have to understand the grammatical, the nuances of the Quran, and that sometimes there's multiple possibilities of the grammar, which gives a diverse set of meanings. So, but if we just look at this in general, is that Allah is describing our Prophet as being upon a siratan mustaqim. And really, the more that you look into the depth of the Quran, you could just keep going deeper, and you could keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. Because here we have a word, sirat, but then it brings up the question, is that how many times does Allah use the word sirat in the Quran? What are the various other verses where He uses it? Does He describe the sirat with any that other adjectives? So it's one thing just to know that sirat translates as path, but it's another thing to understand the concept of sirat in the Quran, to understand the concept of the mursaleen, the rasul in the Quran, to understand the concept of wisdom in the Quran. This is what's really important. And there's obviously only so much that you can do in that short class, but we start to think in this way. And then as we read the Quran, we start to pick up, okay, Allah is using this word here and this word there. And sometimes words have multiple meanings. And so that what we want to do though is to bring the meanings of these words into our life. So Allah described our Prophet as being upon a siratan mustaqim. And this straight path is generally that said to be the path of Tawheed and Huda. It is the path of monotheism and guidance. This is the foundational meaning that all of the prophets that who came before us brought. That if Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Jalla Jalaluh. So for us, our reading of history will always see polytheism as a perversion. We don't accept the fact that human beings that were polytheistic for most of their history and eventually that came to believe that in one God as they evolved. We reject that. We believe the foundation, the first man, Adam alayhi salam, of course, was a monotheist. And then that polytheism was a diversion. And monotheism, belief in one God, belief in the divine unity of Allah, is the most powerful concept in existence. It is the most powerful concept in existence. And what we need to do is to that not only have an understanding of that theologically speaking, but to have that also translate into everything that it is that you and I do. And one of the du'as that I've heard my teacher say, I believe every time, every single prayer I believe he says it, if not the vast majority of prayers that I've definitely that been with him that I've heard him say, is that Allahumma aj'alna min ahli haqiqat at-tawheed. Oh Allah, make us from the people of the reality of Tawheed. The ahl haqiqat at-tawheed. The ahl is a people. The haqiqah is the reality of. And then Tawheed is divine unity. And so you have the oneness of Allah, but then you have your witnessing of that in your heart. And as you move up in the degrees of faith, you move up to a higher degree of certainty. And a higher degree of certainty is that the more that you will affirm the oneness of Allah. Think about that. If that you have the strongest, highest level of faith, and all of a sudden you lose your job. You realize, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطينا ولا معطية لما منعت. Is that there is no preventing what you have given, and there is no giving what you have prevented. The person before you is nothing other than a means. Nothing other than a means. Now, doesn't mean that we're rude to those people, but we see them for what they are. No one or no thing can prevent you from anything Allah wants to give you. If Allah Ta'ala wants to take you to the highest level of wilaya, even if you have that everyone in creation is a hater to the nth degree, there's nothing that they can do to prevent it. لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت. Period. But we have to have that level of faith where we don't flinch. You weren't the one giving me in the first place. And especially when we start to wiggle because we feel that we have to compromise our principles to be able to receive the favor of that person still, or to maintain that job or whatever. Especially in those circumstances, we have to remember is that Allah Jalla Jalalu is in control of everything. What we have to do is be aware of that. And that when that happens in the moment, that person is only that an outward manifestation, a means. The reality is, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is completely in control. And so, the foundational message is one of Tawheed and Huda. Guidance would include all of the individual that aspects of not only the law but of character and so forth. So when we talk about the Sirat that is Mustaqeem, the straight path, it includes everything that our Prophet brought, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from correct belief to correct practice to that morality and having good character and everything of this nature that relates to the individual, that relates to the family, that relates to society, and so forth and so on. All of this ultimately is what we would call the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And what is Allah Ta'ala saying about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that after just telling us that truly you are one of the messengers, that he is ala siratin mustaqim. And so they point out, why did Allah use the word ala? They say because the ala in the Arabic language is a particle that is used, it's a harf al-isti'la, when you put something on top of something. So I put my cup upon the table. And when it's used in this sense, is that if you are on top of something, or you are on top of someone, it really has that sense of being able to control that person or that thing. If you're grappling with someone, and you're on top of them, and you're pinning them to the ground, you're in more control in that in that sense. And so what Allah Ta'ala is saying is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that everything that is considered to be a part of the Sirat al-Mustaqim, he is ala, he is on top of it. In other words, is that not only has he implemented and embodied it, is that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the epitome of its manifestation. And this is why some of the scholars, and back to the early Salaf, Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, said one of the meanings of the Sirat al-Mustaqim when we pray every day in the Quran, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the path, the straight path, is that that straight path is the Prophet ﷺ. He is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that Allah Ta'ala says in another verse, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, and indeed this is that my Sirat that is straight, my straight path. And هذا here is an ism al-ishara. So you say, هذه الورقة, this piece of paper, that هذا القلم, this pen. And so, that some say is that that verse refers to the Prophet. Allah is directing this to the Prophet. And this is, he is, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my straight path. And it makes sense, because he is the human version of the perfect manifestation of the straight path. All of the meanings of the straight path, of which that the Quran explains in great detail, because we say اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, and Allah is not going to leave us bereft of guidance. The entire Quran is an explanation of the straight path and how it is that we can maintain that perfect alignment so that we can get closer and closer to Allah and avoid all of the different diversions in one direction or another. This is what the Quran came to explain to us, but that is embodied ultimately in the person of our Prophet ﷺ, and in his life, and in his words, and in his actions, and even in his tacit approval ﷺ. And so, that after mentioning that he's one of the messengers, ala siratin mustaqim, on a straight path. It's also interesting to note that this is what Allah Ta'ala mentions. There's something about the manifestations of this straight path in relation to what we say and do that matters so much. This matters so much. And we have to always be careful when we take a path of seeking knowledge to not fall into the trap of seeking knowledge for the sake of seeking knowledge. We seek knowledge first and foremost because we've been commanded to by Allah to do so. We also seek knowledge to learn how to become an abd. How can we become servants of Allah? We seek knowledge to put knowledge into practice. And it's not just merely about the theory. And that in our experience here in the United States of America and wherever else one might be, and our desire to want to share our faith with people, our desire to want to even help Muslims that strengthen their own faith, it's essential that we understand that it begins with our own selves. It begins with our own implementation and living up to what it is that we are studying and learning. It can't just be that there's a disconnect between the cerebral level of religion and that how it is that we actually live. And this is the greatest thing that pushes away people from religion in general, and that comes between even Muslims among themselves. If people talk about things, they're not living up to it, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us because all of us do it. If you would actually sit down and think about how much do you know, we actually know quite a bit. Even those of us that haven't studied that much, we actually know quite a bit. And if we would actually list all of the things that we know, the things that could potentially be put into practice on one side of the column, in one column, and in the next column, am I implementing that thing? Am I implementing that thing? And am I implementing that thing? What percent of our knowledge do we actually put into practice? Nasallallahu as-salama wa al-afiyah. So, is that when we look at the example of the Prophet ﷺ, I want to that remind ourselves of this blessed statement of Sayyidah Khadija, which really is incredible. And that it's incredible that this was that how she viewed things in that time, that when the Prophet ﷺ first comes back after receiving revelation, and that her words are so powerful, is that they are a minhaj, a methodology for all future generations in terms of their conveying the essential message of the Prophet ﷺ to their people. In other words, is that if we focus on this and root ourselves in this and live like this, it's only then will they learn from us the details of our religion. So what did our Prophet do when he came back after having that extremely powerful experience of revelation? And he says that لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي, is that I am worried about myself. And then what did Sayyidah Khadija eventually say to the Rasul? كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ, no, by Allah, مَا يُخْزِكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا, Allah would never disgrace you. He would never let you down. What kind of woman is that? Allahu Akbar. This is the Prophet of God. And that he is coming back to her, and that one of the most powerful experience of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that this is how firm she is. This is how firm she is. This is what, who was Sayyidah Khadija, subhanallah. And then not only that, she went on to mention five things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that proves that Allah Ta'ala would never disgrace him. The first says, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحَمُ, you maintain family ties. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبُ, you bear the burden of others. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ, you give to the needy. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفُ, you receive guests hospitably. وَتُعِينَ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you assist during times of calamity. Those five things. Family ties, bearing the burden of others, giving to the needy, receiving guests hospitably, and assisting during times of calamity. That is the minhaj. That is our focus. If every Muslim minority, wherever they would be on the face of this earth, would focus upon this and speak that language, which is the essence of what our deen is teaching us, and secondarily speak actually with words to use religious terminology, what would come from that would develop a sense of trust and a sense of love, and that a number of other that feelings and attachments at the heart level. Then when you did say something in the name of the religion, is that people would take it seriously. Not that everyone necessarily believed, but this is it. In other words, is that this is who our Prophet was. And it was because of these traits and how he was that many of his people, not all, but many of his people accepted what he said after that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some took longer than others, and there's no doubt that there were some that never saw it and were blinded from the truth. And that archetype was and always will remain until the end of time. But Allah describes our Prophet as being upon a siratan mustaqim. And that we also have, interestingly, in the Quran, is that on the tongue of the Prophet Hud, that Allah Ta'ala, he describes his Lord as being upon a siratan mustaqim, that Allah's way is straight. And so the fact that then Allah that mentions that the Prophet is upon a siratan mustaqim is that it indicates the greatness of who the Prophet is, because this is something that was attributed to Allah, and then Allah attributes it to the Prophet. And these verses come in Surah Al-Hud, where that Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. He said, I call God to witness, and you too are my witnesses, that I disown those who set up as partners, those you set up as partners with God. So Hud alayhi salam is speaking to his people. And he said, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ. I disown, I have nothing to do with that practice of shirk, associating partners with Allah. And he says, مِن دُونِهِ فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُونَ. So then he says that, مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ مِن دُونِهِ فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُونَ. So plot against me, all of you, and give me no respite. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Indeed that I have placed my trust in Allah. Rabbi wa Rabbikum, my Lord and your Lord. مَا مِن دَابَّةً إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ مِنْ نَاصِيَتِهَا. There is no moving creature which he does not control. إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. My Lord's way is straight. But look at how the prophets were. You can imagine him standing up to his people. The vast majority of them disbelieved in him. And he's saying that after having that giving them da'wah, trying to call them to the truth, he says that I disown those that you set up as partners with Allah. And then فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا. So plot against me, all of you. ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُوا. And grant me no respite. Oh, la ilaha illallah. That he's speaking to people that could really harm him. But why is he saying that? إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. I put my trust in Allah. Rabbi wa Rabbikum. He's my Lord and he's your Lord. Allahu Akbar. This is how the prophets were, and that these are inspiring stories. That we shouldn't think that in this age of Islamophobia that this is the first time that people have had that antagonistical that things to say about religion. Mm-hmm. This is a part of that the story of all prophets. Every person that has stood for truth, that will have someone that stand up against him and to that say something bad to him or do something to him or her. This is a part of living the truth. This is it. And that we should really put our tribulations in the proper context. How hard are they really? Now there's no doubt as we speak right now, there's people going through immense tribulations. But how hard are our tribulations really? If being a Muslim means that we get a few stares, if being a Muslim means that we have to go through secondary checks, that we get mistreated sometimes, that we wait a little bit longer, that when we get back from our international flights, from our international travels, then let that be. then let it be. If we have Islam as opposed to SubhanAllah. I remember that when they first started those new scanners that they're still using, we were trying to, when one of our teachers was visiting, to avoid them for his dignity. And that when you opt for, when you opt out, then they have to do that a hand search. And it was that, for those of you that have done that, it's not really the nicest thing. And it's unfortunately that really encroaches that on areas that are sensitive. And as I was watching this, I was thinking in my mind, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that this is that SubhanAllah, our blessed teachers having to go through this. And as I was watching him get searched, and then that when that we were then when we were walking away, that I apologized to him. I'm terribly sorry that you have to go through that. And he said simply, he said, what did the Prophet Muhammad have to do? What did he have to go through in order for him to convey the message? What did he have to go through? In other words, his mashhad, how he viewed that particular moment, was this is nothing compared to what the Prophet ﷺ, that he himself went through. So, ala siratan mustaqim, on a straight path. Now, I want to share and translate this passage from the tafsir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi, because he explains the Sirat al-Mustaqim. He said, when mustaqim, this idea of being straight, أَقْرَبَ الطُّرُقْ الْمُوَصِّلَةِ إِلَى الْمَقْصُودِ, it is the closest of paths that will cause you to reach what it is that you are seeking. And so we know is that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So whenever you have a straight line, if you want to get to any that particular destination, that you go directly from point A to point B. And so that this is this idea of all paths, that the mustaqim means it's the quickest path to take you to what it is that you are seeking. And he says, wadin kadarik. This understanding also applies to the deen. فَإِنَّهُ تَوَجَّهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَإِنَّهُ تَوَجَّهٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَوَلِّ أَنْ غَيْرِهِ. Because is that the reality of the deen is directing yourself towards Allah and turning away from that everything other than Him. وَالْمَقْصَدْ هُوَ اللَّهِ. What you're seeking is Allah. وَالْمُتَوَجَّهِ إِلَى الْمَقْصَدِ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمُوَلِّ عَنْهُ وَالْمُتَحَرَّفْ مِنْهُ. And those that are that trying to draw near to Him and turning towards Him, obviously, that are going to that become closer to Him than those that are diverting. And so when we speak about the Sirat al-Mustaqim, oftentimes we don't associate it with that meaning in our mind. And this is why that when we pray in the Fatiha, may Allah Ta'ala that inspire us to remind us to make this intention. When we say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, at least 17 times a day, if in the fard prayers, let alone if we're praying sunnahs. Then what do we say? Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those that you have bestowed your favor upon. What are we intending? What are we intending? Just a very general intention? Are we intending that we want to be from the category of the Salihin? Are we intending that we want to be from the category of the Shuhada? Are we intending that we want to be from the category of the Siddiqeen? Prophecy, prophethood is closed. That door is closed. But we should make an intention from the bounty of Allah Ta'ala that we that become from the elect of the Siddiqeen. In other words, is that Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, is that we want to be guided to the path of those that reach the highest degree of closest to you, Ya Rab. And the way that manifests is in following the Sirat al-Mustaqim in the world. Is that the more that we can that live the meanings of the Sirat al-Mustaqim in this world, is that the closer we are to attaining that reality. And again, is that the epitome of the Sirat is manifested in the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to the degree that we follow the Sirat al-Mustaqim in this world is to the degree that we will attain what we desire from the bounty of Allah Ta'ala. And it is the degree to which is that we will actually physically cross the Sirat in the next world, which is a bridge over hell. The more that we follow it here in this world, the quicker that we will pass and we will traverse in the next world. عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And so this is the whole purpose of the deen, this is the whole purpose of the Qur'an, this is the whole purpose of the straight path and following the Prophet ﷺ and all of these lofty meanings that we talk about. It's ultimately to take us to Allah. And what is meant by taking us to Allah is for you and I to be able to attain ma'rifah of Allah. And we know this is a possibility. And even though we don't necessarily know exactly what that means, is that we know it's a possibility. We know there are people in our time. We know that there are people who came before us who attained this. And that by loving them, attaching our hearts to them, striving to follow them, is that inshallah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will allow us to taste the sweetness of that knowledge of Him before it is that we pass. So then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. And so, truly you are one of the messengers on a straight path. And then Allah says, Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. A revelation of the Mighty, the Compassionate. So, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that has given us the Qur'an. And the word used here is Tanzeel. Nazzal yunazzilu is to send down. And so you think of that something coming down upon you. And here, that not in a physical sense, that we don't and we don't think of this in the physical sense, that Allah Ta'ala, that when we talk about Him being Al-Ali, the Most High, is not in a physical sense, in terms of rank, tabaraka wa ta'ala. But He speaks of this idea of sending down, it's a sending down, and this is why we translate it as revelation. So, Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim, a revelation of the Mighty, the Compassionate. And whether it's the word Tanzeel, or whether it's the word Inzal, which are similar in meaning, is that all gifts that come to Allah, that come from Allah rather, we talk about them as that coming down or being sent down. Whether that is a physical gift, whether that is a spiritual gift, whether that is a gift that we perceive, or whether those are gifts that we never even truly know. And so that Allah is Al-Ali, He is the Most High in relation to His that rank over all of creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He sends down blessings upon His creation. And this is why that He talks about in the book, sending down of Al-Kitab, He talks about sending down As-Sakina, tranquility. He talks about sending down Al-Man wa-Salwa, Al-Libas wa-Rish, Al-Hadid, iron. So various gifts that they're being sent down. So Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. And that also, that brings about this idea of us receiving those gifts with humility. Because when something comes down to you, it's not something that you deserve. That which one of us deserves rain? It's something that we just receive. It comes down physically from the sky. And it is a great blessing. So we're not deserving of this, and so we see it as a blessing. So the Quran is a revelation that of the Mighty and the Compassionate. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Aziz, and He is Al-Rahim. And why does He mention both of these names, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is Al-Aziz, in other words, He is the one that will do whatever it is that He wants to do. And He is the Ghalib and the Qahir. He will overcome all opponents, and that He will that force His will. When He wants something to happen, it happens. In other words, is that He has revealed His book in the way that He wanted to, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He has that revealed the Qur'an as He's wanted to reveal it, that despite whatever happens to anyone in relation to their acceptance of it or not, Allah has revealed His book. And He is Ar-Rahim, and He is the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is merciful, so that He allows that certain people to understand His book, accept it, and believe in it, such that they are exposing themselves to be able to receive His mercy. And that when you think of it as such, is that in relation to the Tanzil, which is revelation, you find people fall into one or two categories. Those that accept and those that deny. And those that deny, in relation to the way that they will experience the name of Allah Al-Aziz, Nasallahu Salaam Al-Afiyah, is not going to be that too pretty. But those that accept, in the way that they experience the name of Allah Ta'ala, Ar-Rahim, is something beautiful. First and foremost in this world, let alone in the next world. And so, is that both of these names relate to that people's acceptance or denial, respectively, of Tanzil. And so, like one of the scholars has said, that if you look at Surah Yasin, is that you will find that these two names have a relation to the themes that happen throughout the surah. In relation to that people's acceptance or denial of prophecy and so forth and so on, you find these meanings pervade this particular chapter. And in other words, is that depending upon how we respond to revelation, we'll be depending upon that what it is that we experience from our Lord, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But if you look at what Allah Ta'ala says, He first spoke of the Qur'an as being Al-Hakim, so there's wisdom. And now there's this, that now Allah Ta'ala is that speaking about Him being Al-Aziz, so Izzah, that He is the Mighty. And then He's also the Rahim. All three of these go together. Because Rahmah without Izzah is Da'f. Mercy without honor and might is weakness. And even though we're supposed to have mercy, there's no doubt. But there's times where you have to be that firm. You have to be firm. If someone is trying to trick you, if someone is trying to get you to do something wrong, if someone is trying to get you to believe falsely, you have to be firm. If certain people need to be put in their place, you have to be firm. So in general, the way that we understand these words, and it applies in that a way that is befitting to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is very different than how we experience these words, we understand mercy without izzah is weakness. And that just as that izzah without hikmah is naqs. And so to have that might without wisdom, it's deficient. Because you won't know what to do or how to do it. And you will mix things up. You will put things outside of their appropriate place. So this is why all of these virtues, they're actually all combined and interwoven. And they have different ways that they manifest. And even though oftentimes we speak of them individually, so we speak of rahmah, mercy, we speak of having izzah, we speak of having hikmah. Our goal really then is to learn how to apply all of them in their appropriate context. But we have to be reminded of that greater context, because just because you speak about rahmah, that it doesn't mean in a particular situation where someone's trying to take your life, rahmah, rahmah. No, you're supposed to defend yourself. And yes, there might still be rahmah underlying everything that it is that you do, or in doing certain things, but, or after the fact or whatever, but the whole point is that there's times where you have to be strong and you have to be firm. And so we want to have a balance of all of them. And that wisdom, putting things in its proper place, doing things at the right time, and not going to astray in any of these manifestations. Again, the idea of Salat Mustaqim. It's the hardest thing to do of all. Being balanced is the hardest thing to do of all. Doing everything properly, in its particular time, in the way that it's supposed to be done, with all of the details and all of the nuances, this is the hardest thing of all. But we keep taking ourselves to task. We keep trying. We keep learning. We learn from our experiences, so forth and so on, and then we get better and better and better. And this is why if we have this idea of what some have recently called the growth mindset, is that the difficulties that you go through, the challenges that you face, will be turned into opportunities for you to grow, for you to then learn, okay, that I've tried this and that doesn't work, and I've made this particular mistake, so that next time that you do it, you can do it in a more perfect manner. Tanzil al-Aziz al-Rahim, a revelation of the Mighty and the Compassionate. And so, that Allah Ta'ala in the past that three verses has that described, or in the previous verses including this, has that showed that we have to have ta'zeem of the Qur'an in a number of ways. First, by swearing by it, because Allah only swears by something that is great. Second, by describing it as being hakim, as being wise. That, and then, so that relates to that verse 2, not the previous verses, just verse 2 rather. And then in this verse, is that this idea of tanzil, and that he is being lofty in rank, al-ali al-muta'al, tabarak wa ta'ala, and that us then receiving it. And then, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala attributing the Qur'an to himself, tanzil al-aziz al-rahim. So this tanzil, this revelation comes from Allah, who is al-aziz al-rahim. There are so many different nuances in Allah Ta'ala's book. And once you start to really look carefully at the words themselves and the placement of that, the various words and particles and the grammar and how it's all read and what comes before it and what comes after, and then that the verses, one in relation to another, and then you trace different that themes of the Qur'an, and why that when Allah Ta'ala talks about the Sirat and Mustaqim here, does He speak of it in this particular way, and what about in other chapters? Oh my. This is why that the that meanings of the Qur'an that are like waves of the ocean, they're incessant. And the more and more that you think that you learn, the more and more that you realize that there is to know. And we will die not even exhausting the tiniest bit of a fraction of what this blessed Qur'an contains. But we have to try, and this is what we ask Allah Ta'ala for, openings in His book. And every year we want to have an increased understanding, we want to have an increased and better implementation. May Allah Ta'ala bring our hearts to life through the words of the Qur'an, bless our heart to be attached to it. May Allah Ta'ala bless these meanings to penetrate the depths of our being. Give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.